Welcome along to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post, sponsored by SBK. I'm Dave Clark, he's Steve Palmer, and it's, of course, the Masters wrap-up. Steve, did you enjoy that?
Good morning, Dave. Yes, I did enjoy that. I'm extremely tired. I think the Masters is a draining experience for both players and punters alike. So bear with me today. If I fall asleep mid-broadcast, then wake me up. Obviously, I had high hopes of having the winner when Cameron Young went two shots clear through five holes. I wasn't following the betting at that stage, but I'd imagine he would have been about even money at that stage. But then from the sixth hole onwards, it went wrong. I played 10 places on my bets personally. So full place payouts from Cameron Young and Xander Schauffele. So dusting myself down, trying not to be disheartened by Cameron Young not winning, because he was on the winning score through five holes, 12 under par. If he'd known that, he might have played a little bit differently from there, but that's not how golf works. We go again, Dave. We go again.
Okay, listen, we'll get on to that. We'll get on to the result. We'll get on to some tipping successes sort of across Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday from your good self. But you're, of course, here watching us on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Do remember to like, comment and subscribe and jump onto our friends at SBK, their website as well. They're, of course, the official betting partner of the DP World Tour. The perfect place for all your golf bets. If you want to take advantage of a tremendous sign-up offer, the link is in the description below. Weekly boost there, loads of offers and concessions going on the website, but you can bag yourself £50 in free bets using that link in the description. Jump onto the website, SBK. Terms and conditions, of course, apply. 18 plus, gamble aware. Right then, Steve, it was a bit of a roller coaster, but it was back-to-back for Rory McIlroy.
It was. I mean, it was nearly the perfect weekend. We must get that out of the way first. It was nearly the perfect weekend for Sweet Spot followers because, obviously, the Grand National was really easy.
Yes, of course it was. Yeah, the favourite wins is easy.
Absolute doddle. There was one standout horse in the race. I was pleased to see Giles Moore enjoyed himself at Aintree. He's one of our favourite commentators. He was at Aintree cheering on I Am Maximus. Hopefully he was the one that had the £100,000 bet. I think Giles had, we don't know who placed that bet. So hopefully it was Giles. Really enjoyed the horse race, as I'm sure you did too. Listened to it on the radio. My whole family in the car listened to it on the radio. It's great to hear I Am Maximus cheered home. My next door neighbour, Margaret, had £2.50 each way on I Am Maximus and it was absolutely buzzing. So Grand National went perfect. Masters nearly went perfect. Rory McIlroy. I mean, we should devote, how many minutes should we devote? 20 minutes to discussing Rory McIlroy?
At least.
I think he deserves it because, you know, truly elite players can make a mockery of historical trends. You know, we were getting hung up on the historical trends. It was 24 years since someone had successfully defended the Masters. That was Tiger Woods, the greatest golfer in history. Yeah, the greatest golfer in history was the last man to do it until Sunday. And then we had the greatest European golfer in history do it on Sunday. I mean, I thought that conversation about greatest European golfer in history ended 12 months ago. I thought that debate had been put to bed. I thought Rory was extremely bashful in the media conference on Sunday night because reporters were bringing that up as if it was still up for debate. And Rory had every right to say, you know, shut up now, lads. Yeah, it's quite obviously me. So I think Sunday was just another chapter in the memoirs of Europe's greatest ever golfer. You know, he was only the second player in the history of the Masters to win their first Masters and immediately win their second one. Nick Fowler, the only player that previously done that. So I was as guilty as anyone of putting too much stock in the poor record of defending champions at Augusta. If you're Jack Nicklaus, if you're Tiger Woods, if you're Nick Faldo and you're Rory McIlroy, then the rules don't apply to you, Dave, because you're too good.
Indeed. Yeah, drawn level with Faldo now on major wins. But I'm with you that, you know, 12 months ago, I think that one was put to bed anyway.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the way he won it on Sunday was so impressive because, you know, bear in mind, he had a six-shot halfway lead in this tournament, the largest lead ever. And that evaporated. He's two shots
there was
behind.
Talk about him equaling, you know, Woods' record of, like, you know, the winning margin. You know, there was all that kind of chat at one point.
Yeah, that's it. The largest halfway lead ever. And then he's two shots behind through six holes. Cameron Young's two shots ahead of him through six holes. So bear in mind, he's 12 under par through 36 holes, Rory McIlroy. And then he's 9 under par through 60 holes. So I know you love your greyhounds, Dave. This is a classic. Yeah, it's a greyhound pinging the lids, charging clear, tiring around those final two bends. And you know full well, most greyhounds don't hang on in that scenario, no. Do they?
Especially if someone starts singing, "This will not be beaten." Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. So you feared for McIlroy at that point. So I thought the best golf he played last week. I mean, early on, his driving was all over the place. His iron play was amazing. His putting was amazing. His chipping was amazing. I thought the best golf he played was from the seventh, the middle of the round on Sunday. So he's fallen two shots behind. And then from the seventh, he played seven holes from the seventh in four under par. And bear in mind, those seven holes feature Amen Corner. I thought that was absolutely courageous. This is a golfer that, he plays roller coaster golf. Then he's up and down like a yo-yo. To battle back from going two behind and play the toughest holes magnificently well. You had to doff caps at that point.
Yeah, and we make a lot on this show about being a tour winner, a previous winner, and you just had that feeling that what had happened 12 months ago and him getting over the line just helped him get over the line in this one as well, because he'd already done it. He'd already climbed to the top of the mountain.
Yeah, there was a freedom about him early in the week. Very comfortable at Augusta now. Been playing there a lot in the build-up. He was bouncing around the place, driving all over the show, finding the gaps, miracle recoveries, putting like God. And then the tension came at the halfway stage because, suddenly there was a chance of Augusta hurting him again, wasn't he? Because he'd had that record halfway lead. Suddenly he's got something in his hands. And if it had all gone wrong again, he's blown the largest lead, the largest halfway lead in history. And suddenly Augusta's hurting him again. It was a challenge. It was a challenge to be that far ahead. And as I say, I thought he recovered so well on Sunday, and I doffed my cap to him. And I think he'll go on to massive things now. I mean, the future is extremely bright. I think he's going to win the Open Championship, Dave. He's in our majors, ACCA. Which is still running. The place part of that's still running. I think he's going to win the Open Championship at Birkdale in July.
So we could be looking at a double career Grand Slam, can we? That's not beyond the realms, is it?
Well, I like your thinking. I like your spunk, Dave. I like your thinking, because I think he'll win two majors this year. I think he'll win Masters and Open. That'll take him to seven majors. That'll leave only six players ahead of him in the all-time list. He's pretty young, relatively speaking. He turns 37 next month. So if he can retain motivation, this is the key for McIlroy, to retain motivation. He felt good about how nervous he felt, he said last week. He's still got that hunger. It still means so much to him. So I think it's feasible, Dave, that he can get to third on the all-time list. If he gets to 11, that ties Walter Hagen. Bear in mind, Walter Hagen has never won the Masters. So... yeah, so if he ties with Walter Hagen, then McIlroy is unquestionably the third best golfer ever. So I'd love to see him slot behind Jack and Tiger. Rory comes in. It seems like you have to have a really short first name to be an elite golfer. Jack, Tiger and Rory. I'd love to see that the order when I'm on my deathbed.
Okay, that's fair enough. Listen, it was interesting to hear from Paul McGinley afterwards talking about the evolution of Rory McIlroy, and that, his driver, or his drive-in, wasn't great, wasn't as good as it can be, but he still managed to get over the line.
Yeah, because driver's normally his best club. And he was 12 under par through 36 holes, having driven all over the park.
Yeah.
It's a tough debate, actually, Dave, on whether he's a better golfer now than he was when he started out. Because you remember, when he started out, he won majors by eight shots. He's romping to eight shot wins, and there was a fearlessness and
close shots into orbit all over the stick. And now he's, they say it's a sign of a true champion getting the job done without being anywhere near your best, regardless of the sport. And he's done that.
Yeah, and do you think he's a better player now than when he was winning? Yeah, I remember being on him at Kira Island when he won eight shots at Kira Island in the USPGA. Yeah, is he a better player now than he was then? I think it's a really tough debate because you have that fearlessness of youth. I think he's a much more well-rounded player now. I think he's got more shots.
Round game. Yeah,
I think he's a better player now. I do think he's a better player now, but I just think there's the strength and depth of fields means he can't win majors by eight shots anymore because I think there's more better players. I think it's a great debate. I'd love to sit down with Rory one day and debate that with him. Is he a better player? Are you a better player now than you were then?
If he ever lifts that injunction, maybe you'll get the chance. But
I hung around with him when I played golf with him back then. Yeah, when he first started out, I had a great night out with him back then, and obviously I couldn't ask him that question back then. But yeah, I'd love to meet up with him again and ask him how he.
What about?
I think it's a really tough debate that.
Rory McIlroy at Augusta. You know, it was interesting some of the stuff he was saying afterwards about doing the school run and then having a round at Augusta. You know, like he has put the groundwork in, the prep and everything, hasn't he? Like he's been switched on, tuned up for this one. There's not a lot of TGL chat going in preparation. It was all about Augusta. I've got to get to Augusta for 3 weeks before and just put the work in. And that was quite evident throughout.
Yeah, I mean, it shows the benefits of having a private jet. We must invest in a private. I think I'm going to ask for a private jet for Christmas because they are very, very useful. Because he was saying he would take his daughter to school in the morning, then fly from his home to Augusta, get a practice round in, fly back, be home to have dinner with Poppy in the evening. So that's great preparation, but you can only really do that if you've got a private jet. So Macro's preparation.
A clear conscience of any carbon footprint as well.
Don't worry so much about that. But I think his preparation was spot on. I mean, you know how I feel about playing in the Texas Open. I think it's disastrous preparation. I think, you know, Robert McIntyre can axe the Texas Open from his schedule. I think playing the Houston Open is slightly beneficial, but I see no problem in those players that to take a month off before the Masters. You know, you had Cameron Young didn't play from Sawgrass to Augusta. I think a lesser schedule, less is more for me in the preparation.
Might we see that as a trend now going forward for Rory? I mean, he's downplayed it, saying, look, I'm not going to take 3 weeks off before every major, but why would you not if you can get the job done when you do so?
Oh, I think McIlroy will stick with this preparation from now. I mean, you know, he could win more Masters. I mean, you know, how many Masters is he going to end up with? You know, I think he enjoys hanging out at the club in the practice round. So, I think his preparation will be the same going forward. You won't be seeing him in Texas anymore. I mean, Scottie Scheffler's an interesting one. Obviously, he's a Texan through and through these days. His schedule was the same. Didn't play from Sawgrass to Augusta, but that was not out of choice. It was because the baby came and knocked him out of the Houston Open. So, it'd be interesting to see what Scheffler does. I think he'll probably still play the Houston Open, but, I mean, 65-68 at the weekend, Dave. Yeah, that was an incredible weekend performance. Bogey-free at Augusta over the weekend. I mean, I don't want to get bogged down in the debate about what they did with the course. I mean, it played a little bit soft on Friday. Maybe it shouldn't. I can't be bothered to discuss that. We still got a winning score around, you know, 12 under the par. It's pretty standard. But I think 65-68 from Scheffler at the weekend. That's the first bogey-free weekend performance at Augusta since 1942. I mean, we keep getting the history books out. You know, Rory McIlroy making history there, becoming the fifth player ever to successfully defend. You know, nobody has done a bogey-free weekend at the Masters since 1942. He was 12 shots behind going into the weekend, Scottie Scheffler. Ended up losing the tournament by a shot. As I say, the good news is the place part of the 2026 Majors Acker is still running. You know, there'll be juicy returns if we can get all the places. We've got Xander Schauffele in the USPGA. Tommy Fleetwood in the US Open, Rory McIlroy in the Open Championship. So we're hunting the place returns there. But, you know, Scottie Scheffler, so ominous. Iron play was back. His driving was much better. He's the favourite this week for the RBC Heritage, and we'll come to him.
We will. Right, let's do the result then, if you like. McIlroy, 12 under par. Steve has mentioned Scottie Scheffler, 11 under par. Tyrrell Hatton, Russell Henley, Cameron Young, Justin Rose. Again, before we get on to, you know, your man, Cameron Young, Justin Rose, to be still doing it at his age, a consummate professional, wonderful temperament. Can he win another? I mean, his form is suggesting he can.
Yeah, I felt for Justin Rhodes on Sunday. I thought it was a classic human interest story for him, because that looked like a man who knew this was his final chance to win the Masters. You know, this is a three-time runner-up, so he's gone through the ringer at Augusta in the past. You know, so many near misses. Players have played really well to beat him at Augusta. Then he got two shots clear. I mean, Cameron Young, as you say, would come to. He got two shots clear. Justin Rose got two shots clear around the turn, and then Amen Corner. I mean, McIlroy thrived on around Amen Corner. Rose went the other way. You know, duffed a chip at 12. And yeah, as I say, I felt for him as a human, because similar age to me, you know, just slightly younger. You do feel, you know, you get these moments. Yeah, this is my last chance. This is my last chance to do
this.
Can
he win another major, though? Can he win another major?
It's a big ask, Dave. It's a big ask. I mean, his A game is still magnificent. His A game is good enough to win. He tries to peak for the big ones. Yeah, I'm not going to rule him out winning another major. It'd be very interesting at Birkdale. He's got a proud history at Birkdale. You know, you'll see shots of him at Birkdale as a very young man. When we come to the Open in the summer. So, yeah, it's just a tough one to get over, because the pressure hit him like an anvil at Amen Corner. And, we are only human, Dave.
We are indeed. Right, your man, Cameron Young. This was definitely a runner, you know, over the weekend. You must have been thinking, we've got a squeak here.
Well, I'm sure the trading community had fun with him. As I say, I just like to watch the golf in the final round. I just like to want to relax and let it unfold, particularly as the pitch. You never know whether the pitch is alive. You never know where the pitch. You know, you never know what you're dealing with. Do you? I just want to watch the golf. I thought the each way money was in the bank, so I just thought I'd enjoy it. I would imagine he went around even money. The commentators can tell us. Tied third with three other players, a seventh major top 10 finish, a fourth major top 4 finish. He finished third on Sunday, finished third in the USPGA. He's finished fourth in the US Open. He's finished runner-up in an Open. So in all four majors, he's contended. This is a game made for majors. I mean, he's a supreme ball striker. He's getting better at everything else, I'd say. And it was just two mishit wedges that cost him the tournament, because his wedge at the 15th in round three, it was too short. It spun into the water. And then his wedge at the 7th in the final round, too short. Just caught the bunker short of the green. So a few more yards on those two wedges and he might have brought home the bacon for us. Closed with 9 consecutive pars. It was so frustrating on that back nine. That 7-iron approach to the 15th hole, if that had a bit more check on it, he could have been putting for eagle there. And, he lost by 2 shots in the end. He couldn't even scramble a birdie on the 15th because it went in a tricky spot through the green. So, fine margins, Dave. Pure agony on Sunday for Cameron Young fans. But got the place money. We'd dust ourselves down. We'll go again.
Yeah, I've got to get the feeling it's only Lent with Cameron Young as well. What about Russell Henley and Tyrrell Hatton? Movers over the weekend?
Yeah, both need to be discussed strongly in our previews this week. They're both competing this week. Xander Schauffele needs a lot of chat as well. We were on him last week, tied ninth with one other player. I don't regret putting him up. His ball striking was fantastic. He found 17 greens in regulation on Sunday, just frittered shots away on Friday night. Friday night's viewing, he made 3 consecutive bogeys from 11, 12 and 13. That was the moment that denied him a real serious crack at the green jacket, because he was swinging so well. His putter was ice cold all week, Dave. It's just shockingly bad putting from Xander Schauffele, but another major top 10. And he's playing in the RBC Heritage. You've got to have a good old think about him, Dave.
Yeah, listen, you want to be following Steve, you won't mind me saying. A good weekend. Third, ninth, and 12th, the three main tips. Kitayama, I know you put up each way first round leader at 90-1 placed. 4 from 5 on the two balls over the weekend. You're tipping there. And 2 top 10 finishes bets on Scheffler and Rose on Sunday. And the dual forecast, McIlroy and Young at 10-1, which you put up on Saturday as well. You've got to remind people how people can follow your tips over the weekends. They can watch the Sweet Spot. They can, of course, buy or download the Racing Post. But there's more. There is more.
Yeah, we play in running on Golfwise Extra for the members. We put up that 10-1 McIlroy young dual forecast on Saturday morning. And I have mixed feelings about that now, because it felt like a lovely comfort blanket, Dave. I felt like I was basically
imagine. When you're putting it up, I can imagine. Yeah,
I felt like I was on McIlroy at 10-1 as my cover, and then obviously I should have had some proper cover on McIlroy as things turned out. So they finished first and third. We had a good week on the in running stuff, and get it on the website, join the members club, we're fully focused. We're fully focused. I feel like we're in good form going into when you need to be in good form. We've got a couple of tricky tournaments this week, but I think I've got them sussed out.
Okay. Well, we'll get on to them. Is there any more Masters chat? Anything else you want to add, Stephen? There was a lot happening over the weekend. There was a lot of fun and games. It was Hao Tong Lee, looked like my golf game. I think it was on the 12th or the 11th or 12th where he took a 10. But it's nice to see that. I know it's absolutely brutal and cruel, but I mean, you've already said it, you know, they are human. Like, these things can happen. This golf course can just absolutely kill you.
Well, Hao Tong Lee had it. We talk about Rory's roller coaster rides. I mean, Hao Tong Lee's was ridiculous. I mean, he probably couldn't believe he was contending for the green jacket, and then played some of the worst golf shots I've ever seen. I mean, he had some good excuses, to be fair. I mean, his interview after one of the rounds was classic, and he was just telling us how long he'd spent in the toilet. He had some serious diarrhea issues, I think, reading between the lines.
But he wasn't even at the champions dinner. So what happened?
maybe Rory took him a little doggy bag and gave it to Hao Tong. I love Hao Tong Lee. I mean, probably the highlight of my Masters was watching Hao Tong Lee with my daughter. Actually, my daughter watched loads of the Masters with me, and it's not long before she's old enough that she'll hate her dad and she'll be out the door with her friends and won't want anything to do with me. So it was great Hao Tong Lee was one of her favorite players. She was talking about how Tyrrell Hatton and Hao Tong Lee should swap their first name, so then one of them would be called Hao Tong Hatton. It's a good point, well made. and there was a caption on the telly that got Wyndham Clark's name wrong. They'd misspelt the Wyndham, and Grace was going, what sort of parent would call their kid Wideham? Because it looked like it said Wideham. I said, well, maybe he was a big baby. I had a lot of fun. Had a lot of fun watching the Masters. We got most of the Masters players are playing this week, Dave. I mean, you got the RBC Heritage Field is full of players who played last week. It's a signature event. So then obviously the LIV event, you got your John Rahms and Bryson DeChambeau. Loads of people would have had their fingers burnt by those two. I hope we put people off Bryson DeChambeau. We were particularly down on him last week, and he was getting well backed. I hope I stopped a few people from backing him, because 76, 74... six over par. He's in a state of flux with his equipment. We'll discuss him in LIV Mexico City.
Yeah, I thought you did make a really good point about, the course setups on the LIV Tour. These are elite golfers, I know, but, when you look at their preparation and switching from that to Augusta is not going to be ideal.
Absolutely. And you saw John Rahm. I mean, John Rahm's greens and regulation statistics on the LIV circuit this year, unbelievable, but he's playing easy courses, and he comes to Augusta and suits 78. I mean, that's a sort of humbling experience for John Rahm, wasn't it? And, he battled through to the weekend and got better as the week went on. But John Rahm, it was a pretty embarrassing Masters for him. Bryson DeChambeau, extremely embarrassing. And then, some of our favorite Europeans. I mean, we don't really want to talk about their failure because we love them. But Shane Lowry shooting 80 on Sunday is really heartbreaking. He would have loved to have Rory McIlroy passing the green jacket to Shane Lowry. I mean, it's one of those things that would just, it'd be one of the greatest moments in the history of golf. And obviously for Shane, it was in his head, and he played really poorly on Sunday. Tommy Fleetwood is good mate. Shane's good mate. Shot 76. Fleetwood's weekend was terrible.
The only headlines he got is that he was rocking his Augusta gear while he was
He looked good, but he wasn't playing good. I mean, they finished, Fleetwood finished 30th. Lowry finished 30th. Fleetwood finished 33rd. But at least they were there for the weekend. I mean, Bob McIntyre's, a couple of Europeans disgraced themselves, didn't they? Bob McIntyre and Sergio Garcia. The Augusta patrons not happy with them. Interesting Masters, and we could be here all day talking about it. It was a fascinating event, wasn't it?
We could. I'll round off, Steve, with just a tiny little peep at the market for next year's Masters, in which we see Scottie Scheffler 9-2 and Rory McIlroy as big as, I think, 7-1 in a place, 13-2. Does that surprise you, or are you quite happy with those being the front two and in that order?
No, I think that makes sense. Yeah, I think that's perfectly fair. I mean, Scottie Scheffler's not going anywhere in a hurry. That putt at 17, so close to going in, and just fractions, wasn't it? Fractions. I think the betting's right. I've got no interest in tying up funds for 12 months on either of them. Yeah, just don't do it. I don't have a bet now because, yeah, the each way terms are so much better in the week of the Masters. You might as well just wait for the better each way terms. They're not going to be dramatically different prices.
Yes, bookmakers, they want your action in the lead up to it. So they do sort of get a little bit more generous than they do 12 months before. So I would echo that.
Yeah, I hate tying up funds for long periods of time. And in the current climate, yeah, why would you? You know, everyone keeps telling me we're on the brink of World War III. You know, do you want to tie up funds for a year and then there might not be a world to bet in? Live for the day as much as possible.
And gamble responsibly as well, of course.
And gamble responsibly, yeah.
Right, shall we move on to this weekend's action?
Yes. As I say, we've got two fantastic tournaments, RBC Heritage, LIV Golf Mexico City.
Okay, right. I'll start off with our friends at SBK are offering a 30% winnings boost. Terms and conditions, of course, apply. So do have a little peep on the website. But if you can find the winner of the RBC Heritage, hopefully it'll be one that Steve puts up, you'll get a 30% winnings boost. But T's and C's apply. Right, it's the 58th edition. Where are we, Steve, for the RBC Heritage?
The Harbour Town Links, Hilton Head Island, South Carolina, 7,243 yards, par 71, three par fives, a Pete Dye design. Was given a little tickle by Davis Love last year. So after last year's event, Davis Love came in for a restoration. But this remains essentially the same track. They didn't really do much. It was more to do with like maintenance and stuff. So don't worry about that. You can only score well. Well, straight hitting the key to success. Small targets, all about accurate iron play, sharp scrambling. Everyone's going to be missing greens. They're very small greens. The Heritage was given signature event status for the first time in 2023. So that reduced the size of the field. We got 82 going to post this week. Field of 82, no cut, sunny weather forecast, light to moderate breezes. Place your bets lunchtime Thursday, about noon, I think.
Okay, and we're not a million miles away from Augusta, are we? So, you know, they're in that part of the world already.
Very much so, yeah, very much so. Very convenient. But, I'd say you've got about 50-odd runners coming from Masters to this.
Okay, right. Let's have a peep of the market then. I mentioned how close we are. You know, they're in that part of the world. Scottie Scheffler is there as the market leader. Xander Schauffele, Cameron Young, Matt Fitzpatrick, Russell Henley, Tommy Fleetwood, Patrick Cantlay, Colin Morikawa, Ludwig Auber, Siwoo Kim, and Jordan Spieth as well. So a real springer in the market as well, Jordan Spieth, but we'll get on to him perhaps. Right, Roll of Honour recently, Justin Thomas, Scottie Scheffler, Matt Fitzpatrick, Jordan Spieth. The list goes on. Three of the last four have been won by playoff. So it might be for a tight one, we shall see. Right, so you've mentioned accuracy, Steve. Is that what we're going for? Is it approach play, not so much off the tee?
It's not so much off the tee. Driving distance is not a factor. Yeah, then the driver won't come out much this week. It's about positional golf off the tee, finding the right sections of the fairways, get the right angle of attack into these tiny greens. So, I think iron play is most important. And as I say, scrambling is also.
Right. Okay. How many are you putting up for the RBC Heritage?
Three in this, three in LIV.
Okay, right, we're off to Mexico for the LIV. So three and three, nine each way doubles if you want to play. Who is the main selection then for the RBC Heritage?
It's Matt Fitzpatrick. You got some stick for not asking about him last week, Dave. Rightly so. Had you asked, I would have said how unsuited he is to Augusta National. I don't think the Masters venue sets up well for Fitzpatrick. He's better on courses where you get lots of run on the fairways. His low ball flight is really unhelpful coming into the fast greens at Augusta. So I think 18th place last week was a great effort. It followed second place at Sawgrass, victory in the Valspar Championship. Fitzpatrick been hitting his ball so well for so long, never been in more control of his game. Now he comes to his favourite golf course in America. He loves the Harbour Town Links. He finished 23rd in the 2014 Heritage when he was still an amateur. He was 14th in 2018, 14th again in 2020, fourth in 2021, then victorious, as you mentioned, in 2023. That was the first of the signature events. So he beat a top-class field in 2023. I think he's primed for a repeat. Played some really solid golf last week over the final 3 days. He opened with a 74 on Thursday, then was solid from there. Took a fortnight off, don't forget, prior to the Masters. So between the Valspar and the Masters, he got a little breather. I think he's got plenty left in the tank. You have to factor that in this week, Dave, because a lot of players coming from the Masters jaded.
Yeah, very, very interesting point as well. Scheduling, preparation. We've spoke already on this show about McIlroy's preparation for the Masters. So there you go. Got to have plenty in the tank. Did they come for me, Steve, for not mentioning Patrick?
Listen, the knives.
What they can do is they can get in the queue for people that want to come for me. It's not a problem.
No, the knives were out. But no, it's understandable. We had a lot to pack in last week. Yeah, sorry, Dave, I was a bit harsh there. We had a lot to pack in. And we got to the hour mark, didn't we? Bang on the hour mark. So, you get stick if you go on too long and it goes past the hour mark. People say it's too long. So you can't please anyone any of the time, Dave. I think we can say.
Yes. We'd like to chuck in a level of bants as well.
Yes.
To keep people entertained. Otherwise, we could just... Yes. Right. What is tipping this week? Steve, was it a trick?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Fitzpatrick then is number one selection. Who is the next best?
Patrick Cantlay. Maybe the time has come for this victory drought to end. Plenty of players perhaps lacking motivation this week in the week following the Masters. Cantlay, eager to get back to winning ways. Massive fan of money. Very motivated by money. There's a $3.6 million checkup for grabs this week. I mean, yeah, certain players it'll mean more to than others. Cantlay, he's very good at... he's very good at chasing money. It's a former FedEx
Cup. On the wrong tour to start with, yeah.
All credit to him. But yeah, I think factored into that calculation would have been, image rights and PIP and stuff. Yeah. Like, I think he's a bit more aware than most about money. And I think he'll have his eyes on a big check this week and fully focused for 72 holes. Incredible Heritage record, Dave. You know, Cantlay made his debut in the 2017 Heritage when he was ranked 214th in the world, and he finished third. He was seventh in 2018, third in 2019, a playoff loser to Jordan Spieth in 2022, third in 2023, third in 2024, 13th last year. How has Cantlay never won the Heritage? Just always on the leaderboard, loves the assignment, plots his way around, three wood off the tee. It's like a game of chess to him that he relishes. Positional golf. And his game is in fine fettle for this edition. He closed with a 67 for seventh place in the Valspar, tied 12th in the Masters last week, swinging with assurance, tidy around the greens, same schedule as Matt Fitzpatrick, so relatively fresh. Great opportunity for the 2021 FedEx Cup champion.
You mentioned the drought. When was the last win?
Oh, 2022. BMW Championship, yeah, long time ago.
As if he's missing the cut every week now, like he's starting to play some good golf again.
He is in a very well rounded game, no serious weaknesses. And I like that sort of player at Harbour Town. You have to respect his record.
Yeah, I like it. If he's going to win the drought, it feels like this is the place it's going to be. Right, third selection is
Maverick McNealy, who loves short coastal layouts like this one. He's won the RSM Classic. He's finished runner-up in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. He's gone well in the Sony Open in Hawaii. He's twice threatened victory in the RBC Heritage. He was fourth in 2021, third last year in Signature Event Company. This is a 30-year-old. He appears on the brink of big things. He's never had a more well-rounded game than he's got now. This is a former world number one amateur, ready to step up a gear. Yeah, plenty of encouraging form this year. Slow out the gates at Augusta last week. Still serving his Augusta apprenticeship, but rounds of 70, 70, 67 over the final 3 days. He outscored Rory McIlroy at Augusta at the weekend by 7 shots. Only three players outscored Maverick McNealy in the final round of the Masters. So coming with confidence, I think he could follow 18th place at Augusta with a second PGA Tour title. My only concern is the schedule. You know, I get a bit hung up on schedules. He played 72 holes in the Texas Open prior to the Masters, but look at last year, Dave, for your comfort. His schedule last year was even more demanding. He played Houston Open, Texas Open, Masters, Heritage, and finished third in the Heritage. So, yeah, this player can handle the schedule. He's fit as a fiddle. I have to have Maverick McNealy in there. Surprisingly nice price.
Yeah, I'm just scrolling down to find him. Yeah, there's sort of 30-1 plus about him. At the top of the market is, of course, Scotty Scheffler. He's around about 7-2, 4-1. He's not in your team. Why not?
Oh, he's extremely tempting, Dave. I mean, he won this 2 years ago. 11-1-8 are his Heritage form figures. Back to his best over the weekend of the Masters. Yeah, I don't want to put people off. You know, short price. I just prefer three each-way bets on mine than a big win chunk on Scotty Scheffler. So, but I understand what a golden chance he's got.
Yeah, Xander Schauffele, X-Man, is second on the list. He was your main pick for the Masters, but you've deserted him this week.
Yeah, swinging so well. I mean, he finished only four shots behind. If you watched the 72-year-old Xander Schauffele on the greens, look at his putting. Four-shot loss. I mean, so many chances went begging on the greens. His Heritage record isn't great. It isn't great, Dave. Yeah, that's why I'm leaving him out of staking play. It took him a long while to get going at Harbour Town Links. But this is why it's a tricky event, because I really like my three, but I can't tell you Scottie Scheffler's a bad favourite. I can't tell you Xander Schauffele's got no chance there. But yeah, I've got to respect those two.
And Cameron Young, he's in there as well.
Yeah, Cameron Young. He finished third in 2022 in the Heritage, but he's been tailed off in all three of the signature events at Harbour Town. This is not a course where driver comes out. Yeah, hardly at all. So driver's Cameron Young's most effective weapon. So I think Cameron Young is actually the easiest of those three to get rid of, because he's bound to be feeling the effects of the Masters. I mean, he was out in the final pairing alongside McIlroy. Yeah, I feel absolutely shattered. I'm better today. Yesterday, I was so tired. I mean, Cameron Young must be exhausted. He's entitled to be a bit sluggish from the gate. So, yeah, I respect Scheffler and Schauffele more than Cameron Young this week. But, obviously, it's a strong event.
It is, yes. Do you know what? I don't envy your task some weeks, Steve, because I'll just be like, do you know what? I wouldn't have a clue where to start when you look at how strong the field is off the back of a major. But it's your job, sir, right? So the work's gone in still, but it's a toughie this week.
It's not easy for either of us, Dave. Yeah, I was watching a race at Harlow yesterday morning, and the four dog looked like it had everything in its favour, and flopped out the tins and finished second last. Ground racing is not straightforward. And golf betting certainly isn't, but we do our best, and I feel like we've got a good handle on both of these events.
Okay, have you got anything else to add for the RBC Heritage? Was there anyone close to being on the list?
Yeah, you've already mentioned him, did we mention him in our Masters review? We should have done. I mean, Jordan Spieth finished 12th last week.
He's been well backed already this week.
Yeah, I completely understand it. He loves this course. His last PGA Tour win came on this course in the 2022 Heritage. That wasn't a signature event, but decent enough field. So, it's just the putting with Jordan Spieth. He putted really poorly last week. He said that the hole looked small. But he's been hitting his ball lately. You know, we've been sniffing around Jordan Spieth. He's been hitting the ball well. His approach play is really encouraging. But do you want a player that sees the hole as small on your side? Yeah, we're not getting massive prices about Jordan Spieth. Yeah, he was very hard to get away from. Yeah, the last two on my list were Jordan Spieth and JT Poston, the two that I was closest about. If you want five, then have Jordan Spieth and JT Poston as your other two, because Poston's got a fantastic Heritage record. Some signs of encouragement in the Texas Open. So they're the other two. But I want all my money for my three. You know, if you have more players, you got less money for the others, haven't you? So I need decent each way stakes on my three. I can't afford to have Spieth and JT Poston.
Okay, cool. As a fun bet, I know you won't have a view on this, but when I see things like three of the last four have been won via playoff, if you can always find a sort of price for that. And it just makes Sunday a little bit more interesting as well, just tie.
I think you've got grounds for doing that, Dave, because as I say, it's a really competitive event, isn't it? Yeah, I'd be surprised if anyone goes bananas and goes miles clear. So, I wouldn't put you off that one, though.
That's a fun bet. We like to,
That's what life's all about, Dave. That's what I'm always telling. That's what I'm always telling my children. We get so worked up about everything, don't we? And whenever they're having fun, I sort of pat them on the back and say, "Well done, well done. This is what it's all about. This is what you're supposed to be doing. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Are you having fun? Well done. Keep it up. Keep up the good work."
There you go. Parenting 101 by Steve Palmer. All right, let's move on to the livers then, shall we? We're in Mexico here, Steve, and they don't even get a week off on the live tour either. They're off to Mexico. A strong field, as expected. Talk to us about the track first.
Yes, Club de Golf Chapultepec, Mexico. 7,443 yards, par 71, three par fives. Chapultepec hosted the WGC Mexico Championship from 2017 through 2020. Then Wacom Neiman won the inaugural Live Mexico City last year with a 16 under par, 54 hole total. This is a tight tree line layout, but the venue is 7,800 yards above sea level, so the ball flies forever at the altitude. The par threes are difficult. The rest of the course is there for the taking. So sunny, warm weather coming, gentle breezes. We got some showers that might creep in at the end of the final round, but generally fair weather. Accuracy from tee to green is required, but the WGC winners at Chapultepec all had great scrambling stats. So I feel like short game class is perhaps the most important here. A field of 57 going to post, no cut. Place your bets by 8:15 p.m. Thursday evening, UK time.
Good. So we're talking about attribute as in and around the green, right?
Yeah, nice and tidy. And then, yeah, it's both tournaments this week, I think accurate iron play and good scrambling. The keys to success in both events.
Okay, right. Market leaders, John Rahm, Bryson DeChambeau, Tyrrell Hatton, Joaquin Neiman. You mentioned three players, right?
Hmm.
Okay, right. There has been money for Thomas Peters this week. I know you're a marked man, right? You will move markets, Steve. I'm hoping he's not in the team, but we shall see.
Well, I've got a lot of money. I've got me 800 grand from Iron Maximus, haven't I? So I've got a lot of money to spend.
Okay, right. Surely not Thomas Peters. Right, okay. Who is the main pick then for Live Mexico?
Tyrrell Hatton. I think we're going to get an English winner of both events this week. I think Matt Fitzpatrick and Tyrrell Hatton can be really proud of their Augusta efforts. Hatton has always hated the Masters. You know, he hates everything pretty much, doesn't he? But he hates the Masters. He didn't post a top 10 finish at Augusta until his eighth appearance in 2024. So a share of third place on Sunday was his Masters personal best performance. He carded a 66 on Friday. 66 on Friday and found 18 greens in regulation. So talk about getting a handle on Augusta. That Friday 66 was magnificent. He shot another 66 on Sunday. That round was more about his short game. His putter was on fire on Sunday. So if he can marry that Friday ball striking performance with his Sunday putting in Mexico this week, he will leave the rest of the field in his wake. We've only seen glimpses of the Hatton A game this year. He admitted, I remember speaking to you about it, he admitted he let himself go over Christmas. I mean, he's a great character, as Tyrrell Hatton. He really enjoyed his Christmas. He got a Guinness tap installed in his house. Do you remember? He was just guzzling Guinness throughout the festive period and really fattened up. And he returned to competitive golf and he said he could hardly swing because he put on a lot of weight. So we haven't seen much good golf from Hatton this year, aside from third place in Live Adelaide. He saved his best golf for the biggest event. Third in Live Adelaide and then third in the Masters. I think Hatton's back in business now. You know, he looks fit. He looks fit again. I like his style of peaking for the biggest events. I think a second individual Live title is coming on Sunday. Got an ideal game for Chapultepec. Accurate from tee to green. Strong scrambler, always has been, always will be. Played in the Mexico Championship at this course. Yeah, he's got lots of experience at this course, which not many have. 10th in 2017, 3rd in 2018, 19th in 2019, 6th in 2020. All of those four appearances were as a PGA Tour maiden, I think it's important to point out. He was 5th in the inaugural Live Golf Mexico City 12 months ago. So, yeah, Hatton, I can't get away from Hatton. Really excited about the Matt Fitzpatrick, Tyrrell Hatton each way double. Yeah, Mark to get the England shirt on over the weekend.
Oh, yeah, I like your style. I like your style. Almost three times the price of favourite John Rahm, Tyrrell Hatton there. So 11-1 is out there. Who is the next best?
Abraham Answer. Will the Mexican galleries have one of their own to cheer on Sunday? I think there's a decent chance Abraham Ansah has been playing well on some far less suitable tracks this season. Fourth place in Live Riyadh was a magnificent effort on a course that's set up for bombers. Third place in Live South Africa, another incredible effort last time out on a soft course that was being dominated by big hitters. So the fact that he's been competing on courses like that shows the state of Abraham Ansah's game. This week, much better assignment for him. Balls travelling far in that thin air. His accuracy will be rewarded. He finished 12th in the final WGC Mexico Championship in 2020. He was 26th in Live Mexico City last year, but his recent form is so compelling that I think we have to keep him on side this week.
Do you know what? I really like that one. I might get the sombrero out if you're going to get the England top out. So cheering him on. Because that is a really good point that you make, that he's not a player that, you know, sends it off the tee. But if he's competing against those that can on a track that you need to, that's a good sign.
Oh, yeah. He's one of the shortest hitters out there. I mean, I think the other time I back him is when it goes to Live Hong Kong, because that course sets up well for him. But yeah, I watched a lot of Live South Africa. It's a fantastic event and it was soggy as anything. Bryson DeChambeau obviously won the event and Ansah's just floating around. I mean, it was a manful effort to finish third in that. So yeah, really encouraging Abraham Ansah. Yeah, I might switch to the sombrero if he's in the league going into the final round.
Okay, right. Who is the third and final pick then for Live Mexico?
Sebastian Munoz. A Colombian, he played well in Mexico as a youngster on the Corn Ferry Tour. He was runner-up in the 2017 El Bosque Mexico Championship on the Corn Ferry Tour. He was third in the same event in 2018. He finally got a debut in the WGC Mexico Championship in 2020, closed with a 67 for 14th place, decent effort in an elite field. Last year, he finished 7th in Live Mexico City. Fits the profile of the player I'm looking for this week. You know, he's like Hatton, like Ansah. Munoz, tidy from tee to green, can get hot on the dance floors. He was 8th in Live Riyadh, so similar to Ansah. Played better than he should have done at Live Riyadh. 8th in Riyadh, 8th in Live Adelaide, 37th last time out in South Africa on a wholly unsuitable track. I think he's got the potential to upset the bigger names this week. We'll come to the biggest names in the field now, but Munoz has won. All of my three have won Live titles. They're not Live maidens. So, I think second Live titles could be coming for Mansa and Munoz, maybe.
Okay, they are the three. John Rahm is the market leader, about 4-1 with most firms. Not for you.
John Rahm is very tempting. I'd say both of the favourites this week are very tempting. I can't really say a bad word about Scotty Scheffler. I mean, you just need deep pockets to play at those odds. The same with John Rahm. I think the odds are fair, but they're not tempting enough. You know, he usually loves his trips to Mexico. He's twice finished third in the WGC Mexico Championship on this course. He shares the course record of 61. He won the 2022 Mexico Open on a different track. He was runner-up in the Mexico Open in 2023. Third in the 2024 Live Mayacoba, which was the Live event in Mexico before they switched to this one last year. Fourth in Live Golf Mexico City last year. So Rahm's record in Mexico is amazing. The crowds love him. Obviously, this is a Spanish-speaking country. Yeah, Rahm will be treated like God this week. Deserves favouritism. Extremely tempting, but is his ego bruised, Dave? You know, that Thursday 78 was utterly humiliating for him. He said he couldn't feel his swing. Like, his swing just disappeared. Like, all year he's been swinging amazing on the easy courses of Live. Gets to the big boys golf course, gets to the proper event, and yeah, his swing just wasn't there. And I think that was such a significant flop that I know he played better from there. You know, he made the cut, battled through the weekend, finished 38th. You know, finished 38th. We were second favorite last week, wasn't he? You know, he finished. Well, yeah. Started the week second favourite, finished 38th. You know, I just wonder what sort of attitude Rahm's going to be bringing to the table. You know, not much time to decompress between Masters and Mexico. He's got a million kids. He fires him and Tony Finau, the best sort of kids match bet ever. Like, you know, Rahm and Finau just ploughing babies out left, right, and centre.
Yeah, you just be careful where you word that, yeah?
So, they just like having babies, which is all credit. Yeah. All credit. We need sensible chaps like John and Tony to have as many babies as possible. I've lost my train. Lost my train of thought here. So the point is, he's not had, when you've got a house full of kids, as you well know, Dave, you've got two, I got two. It's not easy to decompress. I mean, I did a celebratory dance when the Easter holidays ended today. I mean, the teachers had one of their insect days yesterday where they spend all day looking at.
You got a bonus day, right?
I mean, they love an insect day where they spend all day studying ants and wasps and beetles and that. So today was the day that they finally went back. The point is, sorry, I'm just rambling like a madman here. The point is that I don't think Rahm's had much time to decompress. If he's gone home after the Masters, he's a house full of a million kids. He's going to feel he's got a big ego, isn't he, John Rahm? And that would have been so bruised. I just wonder whether he's going to mope around a bit coming to Mexico. You know, it might be the ideal place to bring him out of his slump, his mental slump, because, as I say, the Mexican crowds love him. Yeah, I spent long and hard thinking about John Rahm, and I spent long and hard thinking about Scottie Scheffler. You could have the Scheffler-Rahm double this week and probably go very close to success, but I just fancy each-way bets on three players at bigger prices in each event.
Well, listen, the prices you're playing, Steve, if one of your players plays, you could win more than you would back in John Rahm to win this event anyway.
Well, this is it. This is it. Certainly on the second two tips. Yeah, I think people, if someone says to me, I'll back John Rahm, I'm not going to say you're an idiot. Put it that way. But I'm going to say, you know, try these ones at bigger each way prices. I think if someone says I'll back Bryson DeChambeau, which is fractionally bigger than John Rahm this week, I'd say you probably are an idiot. You probably are an idiot. You can clip this one when Bryson DeChambeau wins by 10 shots. But I don't think you should be backing Bryson DeChambeau this week. Yeah, the equipment issues that I mentioned last week are ongoing. Did you see that interview where he's talking about his...
Do you know what? I think he's confusing himself. Some of the stuff that's coming out of his mouth, I just think, like, dude, someone needs to put an arm around him and say, you are a hell of a golfer. Just, like, worry about the golfing.
Yeah, I make you right. Yeah, that chat about the 5-iron was, that poor reporter sort of asking how long does it take to make one of these, print one of these 5-irons. And, he just sort of laughed in the face of the reporter when the reporter said, can you get it for later in the week? Of course not. I mean, I have no idea how you print a golf club face. And, he says he's got to get it conforming and that. So, as you say, I think he's in a muddle with his equipment. He's had a bust up with the people who used to make his shafts and club heads. He's all over the show. He's in a state of flux with his equipment. He's got these personal problems that we still don't even know what they are. The Masters was even more.
I reckon he's knifed one through his front door. You know when he's trying to hit it over his house and he's fallen out of his missus because he's knifed one through the front door.
Do you reckon that's what it is?
Writing content for YouTube and he's just smashed up his house, knifing one.
Well, it's just a night. Yeah, I mean, he's obviously got the bank balance to just say, oh, I'm going to go and get another one. I mean, if you're rich enough, you don't have to worry about anything getting broken, do you? I mean, my son's got a bit of a temper on him and, when things get broken in my house, I'm thinking, oh, well, blimey, now I've got to fork out for that. But, Bryson DeChambeau. Yeah, who knows what's going on with Bryson DeChambeau? But I thought his price last week was abysmal. I think his price this week is abysmal. But who knows? Who knows? It could all come good eventually.
Okay, John Rahm with his house full of kids. Big up the teachers, I'll say. House full of kids. Imagine a classroom full of them 5 days a week. So big up the teachers there.
No. I do appreciate that. If you are a teacher, and then you obviously, if you're a teacher and a mother, so then you don't even get a break from the okay, no, big up the teachers, but love my children, but Easter Masters combo is a challenging one.
Yes, it is indeed. Right, anything else to add? What about Neiman? Let's talk very quickly about where are we at with Neiman. He was the win machine, and he is no more.
Yeah, absolutely, and a fantastic record in Mexico, defending champion.
Yeah,
signs of life lately. I say Rahm, Neiman, and Dustin Johnson were the three that I found it most difficult to scrape from the shortlist this week. Neiman is looking like he's getting his act together again. Dustin Johnson, a two-time course winner, he won two of those WGCs. Last week in the Masters, his short game was in mint condition. You don't normally see that as a strength of Dustin Johnson. But, short game's really important this week. And Dustin Johnson was scrambling like God last week. So, I wouldn't completely rule out a Dustin Johnson Chapel Tepec hat trick. But I prefer my three. It's been a battle getting the shortlist down. But, three and three, 3-3 gives us a chance to have a decent each way bet on all of them.
How long ago was it that you put Dustin Johnson up at three figures as a man out in the wilderness? And I'm just looking at him now, and he's as short as 25-1 with some other firms.
Yeah, they're respecting the course record, aren't they? Yeah. We keep an eye on Dustin because he's still a young man. But yeah, I'm going with more progressive sorts here. Yeah, I think it's really exciting now. Tyrrell's put the Guinness down that he's looking like Tyrrell Hatton again. So I think he'll be excited. I mean, he was talking about beer after the round on Sunday, wasn't he? They were talking about what he's going to do, and he wanted to have a beer on Sunday night, but he thought he might get into a playoff, so he had to delay his beer. I like the way Tyrrell Hatton goes about his business. I think he'll have his game face on this week, and the Englishmen are going to win both events. And then maybe we win the World Cup the World Cup in the summer, Dave. I think that'd be the hardest one.
Steady on. Listen, like, you've got your pecker up, Steve, at the moment. You're in good form. You're in good form betting on other sports as well. We've exchanged messages, and you're going along quite nicely on the dart scene as well, right?
Yeah, I'm loving the darts. Yeah, I've had the winner of the last two Players' Championships. There's another Players' Championship today. Chris Dobie, the Doberman, did me proud yesterday. So we'll have a look at the Players' Championship. I know you're excited about the World Snooker Championship coming up. I think Zhao Xingchong is just different class. I know you were hanging with some of the snooker players at the weekend, weren't you, in Ireland?
Do you know what? I've had a great weekend. Yeah, I was over at Goff's in Ireland. Tremendous event, the John Virgo Trophy. We had Ronnie O'Sullivan, John Higgins, Stephen Endre, Mark Williams.
Who won that?
It was just magical to watch Rory in the Masters in Ireland, you know, in the bar afterwards. Just incredible. Everyone's watching it. It was class.
Who won that, Dave?
Rockets.
Oh, the Rocket won that. So the Rocket's in fine fettle, is he? Yeah, obviously, yeah. I'm a bit concerned about the Rocket, but I think they all respect Zhao Xingchong. They know he's the best. When you listen to
the
like
Crucible Curse, what about the Crucible Curse?
Well, what about the Masters Curse? You know, they are Rory McIlroy. Yeah, we've just seen that. You know, perhaps don't put too much stock in that. I don't think Zhao will even know about the Crucible Curse. I think it's more important that you listen to how the other players talk about him. Like John Higgins. John Higgins had to play him the other day in a semi-final, I think it was, and just, you knew he was beaten before it started, because he knows that if he's any sort of chance he leaves out, he's in big trouble. So I think over the long matches, Zhao's unbeatable, and the market reflects.
It's around the corner. The qualifiers are on at the moment, and then the draw, I think, is on Thursday. So yeah, we're not too far away. But you're going with the jolly, right?
Yeah, and it starts on Saturday. So Zhao's playing on Saturday. The defending champion always starts on Saturday. So you've got the World Snooker Championship on Saturday. I've got the biggest game that Weymouth FC have played in a long time on Saturday. I'm feeling the pressure. You think the week after the Masters, you might relax a bit. The pressure's immense. You know, Weymouth.
Give me some context for the Weymouth FC game. What's going on?
Well, we slipped back into the relegation zone at the weekend. We got ourselves out of it. We've gone back into it. There's two games left. Home to Chertsey on Saturday. If there's any Chertsey players watching Sweet Spot, please just roll over.
Should they be on the beach? Are they sort of just mid-division?
Very, very small chance of getting in the playoffs, but it's not going to happen. So just,
you don't want
just
motivation from them, yeah.
No. So yeah. Weymouth have got the biggest must-win game in their history on Saturday. I'm feeling the pressure about that. The start of the World Championship, the golf.
So we have the Weymouth-West Ham relegation double just to, you know, soften the blow, should it happen.
They wear the same colour kit. Yeah. Maybe we should. Are West Ham in trouble, Dave? I've lost interest in
Well, we've managed to somehow move away from the relegation zone, but I fear that it might only be short-lived, but we shall see.
There's a lot going on.
Our neighbours in North London are currently occupying that place for us, so we'll see.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah, no, that is exciting, isn't it? So how many games you got left?
We've still got six or seven, I think, but Leeds at home. Final game of the season. I'm sort of hoping that Leeds might be safe by then, and then they can be on the beach as well.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's crucial. Yeah. Weymouth in big trouble. I think West Ham got more chance of staying up than Weymouth. But if we win on Saturday, then we probably will stay up. So, yeah, huge Saturday. Let's hope the golfers win. Let's hope the Terrors win. And let's hope Zhao Xingchong wins the World Championship.
Indeed. Right, let's have a wrap-up then of all six players that Steve is putting up this week. We'll start with the RBC Heritage. Remind us when to bet by as well.
I think it's noon on Thursday for this one, because 82 players is a fair old whack to get around. So, yeah, Matt Fitzpatrick, Patrick Cantlay, Maverick McNealy,
Okay, and Live Golf Mexico and Bet by Time, please.
Tyrrell Hatton, Abraham Answer, Sebastian Munoz, and it starts at 8:15 p.m. on Thursday night, UK time. Get it on TNT Sports, Discovery Plus, all sorts of apps. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Yeah, I'll be tuning in on the phone. I mean, I've got a bit of an issue, actually, because the wife's going away for the weekend. So I've got to look after the kids all weekend. As I say, there's so much going on in the sporting world, and I may have to pay the kids to go and watch Weymouth FC on Saturday, because I know my daughter certainly wouldn't want to go. So
what's the going rate for that?
Well, to pay them to go and watch it. Yeah, I've not had to resort to that yet, but I know that certainly my daughter will not want to go and watch the terrorists.
How old is she, Steve?
She's 10. She's 10. Yeah, she doesn't
I've
like...
I've got a tip for you. Bribe her with... my two are mad for squishy dumplings, which is a toy. Go out, find one, use that as the currency, and I reckon you'll get her over the line.
Okay, no, I'll try that. I'll Google squishy dumplings straight after this broadcast, Dave. Yeah, thanks for the tip.
No, all good, all good. Right, so we wish you well. Thank you out there for watching. Do remember to enjoy the golf, gamble responsibly, and we'll see you next time.